of a whole with different feelings to evoke. Giving distinction to the role, different players, different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Hope everybody's doing well. Brother Rufus is with us. How are you doing, Rufus? Sir?
As they say back home, as well as common.
See, no. I addressed you as Colonel yesterday. You have all kinds of titles.
Well, Commissioner. You
Commissioner, Colonel.
Colonel.
Yeah.
Secretary General.
Yeah. That's true. That really.
Most folks, that old dog.
Yeah.
Old dog Rufus. I've had more dogs named after me. Poor dogs.
That's nice. That's a nice compliment. Bard of the Yard.
Yeah. Oh, Bard of the Yard.
Bard of the Yard. I think Jason came up with that. No, somebody else did. Who was that? Do you remember who came up with that? Yeah, I don't know. Somebody called you that. We'll figure it out. I don't know. Phil Campbell is with us. Phil, you hadn't been on with us for a while. Appreciate you coming by.
It's been a busy spring, but I'm so happy to be back. It's great.
Well, I'm happy you are here, believe me.
Yes. And, it is really, it's fun. I learn something every time I'm on the show.
I do, too.
And it's just very pleasant to talk with people and try to help them out and let them help me.
And hopefully, Melissa, I have thought for ever since I started doing this show with Irv Evans that I might become a master gardener. And I think if I ever can get out of here, continue doing this show. I mean, I can do this, but not the news because, it's pretty intensive. And it's usually during the morning, not always, sometimes at night. But the classes, that is, was it 16 weeks? I'd like to do that, and I think Melissa would, too, so we might
remember what you and I are afraid of, but we're afraid we might not pass the test.
Well, Melissa's really smart, so I she can tutor me, if nothing else. Yeah, so.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. I know bits and pieces.
Well, you know a lot about fertilizer, how to spread it.
I certainly know how to do that. I learned from you. You gotta learn from a politician.
Good old black cow.
I certainly know how to do that. So what's been going on? I've been at the beach all week, and frankly, I'm not a beach person, but I just enjoyed myself this week. It was relaxing. I think I needed to relax. And I did, and then I had to come back. But this is a nice thing to come back to. I didn't have to come back full bore to doing newscasts and stuff. That starts Monday.
Well, you look relaxed, so that's good. And you seem relaxed. So,
yeah, I got out. I have walked. I like walking, and I just every day this week I have walked 4 to 6 miles on the beach. And it's my feet hurt, but that's about it. Even with cushy shoes and on sand,
But the sand gives, and your feet turn in different ways. Mine always.
Well,
we always
try to wait until low tide, so it's fairly firm out there. But it's nice to walk from the point at Topsail Island, Topsail Beach, up to the pier and back. And
you were humming, "These boots are made."
I was listening. I tell you what I was doing. I was listening on YouTube, and phones are a marvelous thing, and you can listen to YouTube and the Apple earbuds, whatever they're called. I listened to some Roy Rogers movies. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and Gabby Hayes. And all of that. So, it was like brought back my childhood. That's what I did on Saturday.
All right.
What'd you do, Rufus? Did you turn something over?
I turned over Dr. Pepper, and we're going to fix that right away.
There's some napkins.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't lose all of it, though. You just turned over a little bit. All right. Well, Rufus will be taking care of that for a while now. And so, Phil, are you going to participate too? Or?
No, I'm good. I brought it.
Rufus is going after napkins.
Yeah, he's good. I think he's got that taken care of.
Yeah.
So, it's
Yeah, what's going on at Campbell Road Nursery?
Okay, Campbell Road Nursery's got a lot going on, actually. We've got the food truck today, and that was there last week, and it was really successful, and people enjoyed it.
Oh, so y'all are having food trucks not just at special events.
Right. Well, Michelle and Allie are friends of ours, and they brought it over last week, and it was a good time, and today should be even better because it's cooler and a good day to plant.
Yeah, I was surprised when I walked out this morning in these shorts.
I know, it feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So we got like 0.7 inch of rain the other night. We haven't been getting those rains that always went to North Raleigh or south of us, but we did the other night.
Good.
So we've got a lot of sales and some things that are really good that I haven't been able to keep perennials looking good when it starts to get really hot.
Right.
But this year, we've done it right. Dan, of course, has helped a lot. But the perennials this year have stayed, I don't know if this is correct English or not, but it stayed looking really good. I mean, they look great. So I'm happy about that. But then we've got a lot of heuchera that we want to get cleaned up before we get our fall crop in.
And that's a popular plant.
Heuchera is great, and it's not used as much as it should be used. It's a great shade plant, but it'll do in partial shade. It does well. And the best thing about it is, and I've talked about this before, the best thing about heuchera is you've got leaf color, and it doesn't matter whether it blooms or not.
Mm-hmm. And it lasts through the winter.
right. It's year-round.
And the colors.
We've got some beautiful colors now. We've got some of the berry smoothie, which is kind of a purplish-red, not purple now, but it's purplish-red. And then we've got the lime, which shows up really well.
Yeah, and this is the foliage.
Right.
If you're thinking about blooms, this is the foliage. Yeah.
Right. Right, and so you put it in, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I love heuchera, and it's on sale for $30 a flat. It's usually $80 a flat, so we've got a big sale going with that. And then we're putting in this year doing a better job of years past. We've got a new crop of annuals coming in. We've got some new vinca that's ready. We'll have some new begonias and some new salvia and that sort of thing. So I feel really good about where our crops are now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got...
What are people buying a lot of now?
Well, they're trying to do... I think a lot of people are trying to do containers. So they're buying some of the begonias. They're buying some of the gumfrina. They're buying trailers like the dichondra and lismontia that trail out of the pots and... Then some of the, and they're buying elephant ears. They're all on sale. They're buying those to put in their containers as well. And everything looks really good right now. So
I think the greatest invention on annuals was the sun patience.
Right, right.
That it always used to be years ago, as you well know, Phil. Got to grow them in shade.
Right.
Put these boogers right out in the middle of the sun, and they flourish.
Right.
And I plant them rather close together, so that it looks like there's just a whole field of impatience. And I love the pastels, the pink shades.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in every color except blue.
Yeah, they've come out with some really new colors, neat colors this year too.
I'm sure you've got plenty of impatiens.
We do. We've got a new crop of those as well. So people are buying shrubs. We've got the best in stock of shrubs. I mean, that we've had. They're Lane and everybody has been keeping us really good product. I mean, the shrubs just look great.
Well, as I've often said, when you get over the spring-blooming japonica, hydrangea's next. And
right.
I noticed that last time I was at your place, and you have quite an array of hydrangeas, and that's just something that I don't think I don't ever have any diseases on them that I know of.
Right.
People always ask about pruning. I just let them go, and then I don't know. I know that you prune certain time, a certain way for certain ones.
Right.
And the reason that what I do, when they finish blooming, I let them go. And what the stalk that doesn't come up in the spring, I cut it.
Right.
That's all
right.
I know to do.
Well, and we've got the limelight and little lime. So those you can pretty much do what you want to with.
Yeah.
Keep them the size that you would like to have them. And they're just about to start blooming now.
Yeah.
So they're beautiful. And we got plenty of those. I like those because they're not as picky
right.
about pruning and that sort of thing.
Yeah. My favorite, though, of the hydrangeas, that oak leaf.
Right.
Such magnificent fall colors.
Yeah.
And did they... What is it called Little Miss Pink or Red?
I got Ruby Slippers right now. I do have that one. That was the one that Joe and Susan got. And that's a oak leaf.
Yeah.
Describe that. Why is it called Ruby Slippers?
Well, when it comes out, I'm not sure why they name plants what they do, but when this one comes out, the bloom comes out, and then it has this little rose tint or ruby color tint around the edges of the blooms, each individual petal.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really interesting.
Yeah. So, now, you saw me. I have a couple of them that they are lime green, have lime green leaves, and
mm-hmm.
it's small. I'll have to look it up. But that... It doesn't get very big, but it's just magnificent, especially in the spring when it comes out.
Right. Ruby Slipper stays smaller, too.
Yeah.
And then the little lime, if you're looking for just a great shrub, little lime is...
It's a limelight.
It's a lime. Yeah, it is the limelight, but the little lime, yes. So it's going to be a good year. It's a good year for hydrangeas. They've looked the best... Color wise, they've looked the best that they have that I've ever seen them. The pinks and the blues.
Well, everything has looked good.
Yes,
this year.
It has.
I mean, I think we had such a warm winter,
right?
That everything survived. And spring, we didn't have a bad frost, so everything.
Right.
The hydrangeas look good. We've had a good peach crop. We're having a good peach crop.
And, right. You know. I'll tell you on something else that we just got in is the Hypericum. The shrub, and it's blooming yellow right now, and it is just gorgeous. It's like St. John's Wort.
Explain that to what? Describe that. What?
It's like it's just a beautiful green, but it's got really. Let me see what those. The blooms remind me of, you know those buttercups. That grow a lot, that are wild, and they bloom a lot.
Oh, yeah. Pastures.
They're all over at McKimmon Center. I used to see them over there. And that's what the bloom is bigger than that, but it looks like that. It's an open flower. I'm sorry, I should have brought one, but it's an open flower, and it's a bright yellow. And they're gorgeous.
Oh.
And they perform very well here.
Yeah, that bloom sounds like the St. John's Wort.
That's what it is. It's basically the St. John's Wort.
Okay.
I need to use a more common name because that's what people know it as. But anyway.
Be common on this show.
I'll do
it. That's right.
I usually am. But these are gorgeous.
Oh, I've got one that is huge.
Yeah.
It's at least 5x5 over the years.
Mm.
In fact, on the party, it was in full bloom
mm-hmm.
during the little garden
and then
party we had.
Another thing we got that people have been buying really well this year is the star jasmine.
Right.
Confederate jasmine, yeah. It's still in bloom. The ones that we have are still in bloom. Now, mine has lost most of its
Well, we're filling up my arbor, as you know, with that used to be full of hysteria, and now star jasmine, and still quite a few blooms. But I'm having the worst battle in the world with the roots of the wisteria. They weren't moved, and I've got a special squirt bottle for the wisteria of Roundup. And I take a little, I try to sneak out on it every morning when it's not raining and give them a squirt. And it's a battle, a daily battle.
Once you have wisteria, you always have it, it seems.
Yeah.
It is very difficult because it just runs under the ground or right on the edge of the ground. And you know, it's difficult to get rid of. My dad fought that battle. And this, when we lived in the house off Western Boulevard, and I think he just finally gave up.
Well, I hate to say it, but if y'all noticed when you came into my place, the huge poisoned tops of wisteria, the dummies don't understand. You're not going to kill wisteria by spraying it up top. You've got to cut it down, let it sprout back up to a couple inches, and hit it there with Roundup.
Yeah.
So that's going to be ugly coming into my place. I'm not going to call them dummies. It was the power line people. They are a little...
Let's hold it down a little more. You got any first names? Well, they were doing
They said
the
there
best
was a man out there in a mask with a sprayer. I asked my neighbor.
I'm glad he had a mask.
Yeah.
You know, I saw there's a Serendipities. It's a nice little restaurant on Chatham Street in Cary. Beside that, if you sit outside, you'll notice a gorgeous lace cap hydrangea. I was just thinking about that. We've jumped from hydrangeas to wisteria, but back to hydrangeas. That's not my favorite type of hydrangea, but this one is just gorgeous.
Well, and that's the one at Catherine's house where Carlton's mom used to live. That thing has probably not bloomed well in years. And it's a lace cap blue, and it is absolutely
gorgeous. Well, you just showed that to me on my last trip.
I did.
And
it's gorgeous.
It was just astounding. It's about 4 feet tall, 3 feet wide.
That's probably about 5 feet wide.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just so astounding that I didn't want to leave it.
It's gorgeous. And there's hardly a place on it that like across the top of it that doesn't have a bloom. The blooms are touching each other.
Well, I have a lace tip that you gave me, Phil, that has one solid pink, dark pink color. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them are bicolored. This one is solid, sort of dark pink, the lace cap.
Wow.
I was trying to find, Phil, it's just funny what you think of it. I don't know where it is, and I may run across it. Somebody sent me, you were mentioning when we were out there on remote in May, that about Rufus's, the Rufus Way sign, and you were having trouble with finding chain link that doesn't rust.
I wanted some stainless steel.
Yeah, and this guy sent me a link, but I couldn't send it to you, so I don't know.
Oh, he sent you a link?
Just back off.
Link.
By the way, if you finish cleaning the table, we need some vacuuming in here.
Yeah.
We need bathrooms cleaned.
Oh, Lord.
Did you get everything cleaned up over there?
It's like the River Jordan.
Yeah, you got a little.
And it's not even sticky. What about that?
I don't know. And he didn't lose that much.
I know.
So
I lost my dignity.
Well, you lost a little Dr. Pepper, but that's about it.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Who's going to cry over spilled Dr. Pepper?
I don't know. It's outpacing. I just read the other day it's outpacing something else. Pepsi. Yeah, it's outpacing Pepsi. So people are really jumping.
Does anybody remember back in the olden days when doctor advertised Dr. Pepper? They said have one at 10,
two and four. Yep.
I never could figure out that time sequence.
Well, they didn't care. They just wanted you to drink it.
Yeah.
They'd sell more product.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of difference between 10 and 2, but between 2 and 4, only 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't,
I don't know. It was just a slogan there. I guess everybody
must have rhymed.
Like Mike said, to try to get everybody to start drinking it.
Well, I've tried to follow that slogan all my life.
10, 2, and 4.
Even more than 4.
919-860-9783. If you're game, you can call us at 919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. It's 827. All right, we're back on WPTF. Good morning. You're welcome back to the Weekend Gardener. And let's see, Richard has been hanging on for a while. How are you doing, Richard?
So far, pretty well. Harvesting sun goals for breakfast.
And yum.
Fresh basil. And thanks for all the folks in the gardening vendor community who've contributed to that excellent breakfast.
Richard, are you the one who coined the phrase Rufus the Bard of the Yard?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we're trying to locate the origin of that.
The Bard?
The Bard of the Yard. I had done some poetry, and somebody on the call in said, you are the Bard of the Yard, as in Shakespeare.
Well, I don't know if that's complimentary exactly, because in cooking, when you add something like fat back to the vegetables, it's called barding or larding.
Whoa, boy, that makes it good.
But the Shakespeare was the bard.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And we're talking about yards all the time, so.
Well, and that's what I was going to.
And there ain't nothing wrong with fat back, Richard. Let's not get into that.
Well, it depends if you're a fat back or streak of lean fan.
I'm fat back all the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Plenty of those at the weight loss clinics.
Well, I'm pretty good. I look pretty good, don't y'all think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good shape.
You actually do not look your age, and you look like you just came from the beach.
Yeah.
And you're very relaxed.
Yeah, that's well, I'm not relaxed anymore, but I'm back in the swing. Richard, now, I just, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Richard, we had an auctioneer when I was growing up in Boone named Fatback Williams, and he was a cattle auctioneer, and he went by Fatback.
Uh-huh. Did he have a fatback?
He was over hump, really a humpback, but they called him Fatback.
Oh, how nice.
So that's just a little just a little tidbit for you, Richard, and your vast knowledge of usually sound knowledge.
Oh, okay. Well, in this case, going back to the beach, I remember Dave, the air traffic controller, called in about his zoysia problem with the nematodes.
That's William, the air traffic controller, yes.
Yeah. And so if you're in coastal North Carolina, the best thing you can do is get rid of everything and put in St. Augustine. And it's super resilient. An example of that, if you go to Walter Lewis Landing in Moorhead City, which is at the intersection of South 12th Street and Shackelford Street, every time there's a king tide, it's a little park, and it gets inundated with makes the St. Augustine look burned. But then the first big storm and you get a lot of fresh water, it'll flush it out, and the St. Augustine will come back, no problem.
Yeah. I find at the beach, and my my wife's family, she and her sisters just built a cottage, tore down the old one that was about 70 years old and one level and had been flooded so often. They built another one. It's very high, but the ground it's just really hard to decide what to do because we aren't down there enough to water, and there's no irrigation system, and it's really a problem for a lot of homeowners at the coast as to what to do. You put in some nice St. Augustine sod, but then you have to be down there to water it. And unless you really know what you're doing, you need to hire someone to oversee, because they always need spraying. Because weeds, good gracious. So I'm for the weeds. Our neighbors are relatives down there, so just let their weeds grow into our weeds. But one of our relatives is thinking about trying St. Augustine again. But there again, are they down there enough to keep it in good shape?
I just cut it at 1 inch, and it traumatizes most of the weeds, and it lets the St. Aug dominate.
Well, that's amazing. But you're there to take care of it all the time?
Usually.
Yeah.
A couple times a month, and mowing the lawn and doing yard work causes you to earn your beer.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's right.
You feel guilty.
That's right. But, you know, that's not the important thing for me in going to the coast anyway. It's just, you know, in playing.
Oh, yeah.
And having a good time. So I'm not interested in that, and I don't care if I have weeds or not.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be lovely. But I think St. Augustine, you're right, as usual. It is probably the best suited for our coast, even though it probably doesn't like the colder weather. But, you know, that's changing too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in a previous topic was about bugs and in the garden. You can get some clothing which is impregnated with repellent.
Right.
You can buy that at Bass Pro. It's called Field Treated.
Mm-hmm.
And Forestry Suppliers has that. They're good for about 50 washings. But if you don't like the smell of the repellent, you can just soak them in baking soda, and that'll get rid of the smell and the repellent.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Probably some of the worst. Back when I was in the field surveying, I pulled more ticks off of myself than the dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ticks, mosquitoes. Mosquitoes love me.
And
a lot of carbon dioxide around me, I guess.
Yeah. And we had some field crews that went to Fayetteville who were adjacent to the base, and every day they would pull out off themselves about 20, 25 ticks. So what they started to do is they
got to sell them by the pound.
Yeah, they went and got flea and tick collars and wore those all day.
Well, Richard, I'm intrigued by your phrase, traumatized weeds. Now, who would ever believe that you could traumatize?
I know, no matter how low you cut it, they're the first thing to come back, aren't they?
And I got that term from John Hoppe, who was the late John Hoppe. He was a landscape architect at the city of Raleigh. And I asked him what his best solution for weeds was, and he said trauma.
ETS.
Well, Richard, I appreciate you calling as always. You have a great day.
All right, and one more thing on what you're actually looking at when you look at the surface of the ocean. It was summed up by the writer of the book The Wave, who founded professional surfing, and he said the waves are the pulse of the universe. It's nature's own oscilloscope.
Yeah, and you know, you may be able to answer this. You go to the coast. When we were in the Adriatic, it was a deep blue, kind of like Hawaii. You come to our coast, and some days this week, the water has been gray. Mostly, it's been kind of green. And one day, I guess the first day I was there, the humidity was really low, and it was clear, and it was starting to look fairly blue. But what's the answer for that, Richard?
It's the plankton in the temperature, and there's actually a scale called the Forel scale. And when you're doing oceanography sampling, you use that Forel scale, and you can look at pictures, and it's the first indication of often the latitude that you're located. Now, Carolina Beach, for instance, gets a lot of browning of the water because the snow is cut that goes through the inlet. Uh-huh. Cape Fear. But and then it changes when you get to Wrightsville Beach, changes again when you get to the northern beaches.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing, Richard?
Yeah.
Richard can come up.
Again. That's right. Yeah.
He's the man.
Richard, you have a great day.
Y'all have a great one, and thanks
you
for being
too.
Here for
Thank
us.
You.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Dave is with us. Dave, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fine. I hope you're well.
I'm fine. So the first two important things. One, the Bard of the Yard comment came from the guy when you were at the aluminum company in North Carolina. It was the guy who was the librarian who was your guest.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And number two, I'm the one who had sent you the link on the stainless steel chain.
Oh, okay, Dave.
So if you want to look, you can look up, Mike can look up my email and find it, but I basically just Googled it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, we'll do that.
So you emailed me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So that was Carter Q from the Durham Public Library.
Oh, yeah. Good old Carter.
The Bard of the Yard. Of course he would come up with something like that. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Dave.
Well, yeah, thanks for that information.
I usually look up everything on Google, and so I'm not sure why I didn't look up the chain. I'll have to do that. Thank you.
Sure thing. So anyway, I called up with a question. Uh-huh. My lovely wife is having a cistern put in on the side of our house because of all the impervious rules, all that kind of noise. And about, I'll say, two falls ago, she put in five camellias that are probably 4 to 5 feet tall now. They're going to be in the way of the whole install of that, so they've asked us to move them, or they're going to wind up getting destroyed. What's involved with that as far as how big of a root ball do I need? Can I just wrap them in sheets and pull them out and then pop them back in with new holes? Or how do I need to do this so they don't bite it in the process?
How big are they now? That's the first thing
they're
I'd want to
know. 4 or 5 feet?
Well, now, Phil's expert on this, but I would not even dare think about that till the fall of the year, unless you're willing to water every other day or so.
We're kind of in that mode because the cistern has to go in. Mm-hmm. So these things either have to get moved or they're not going to get moved and they won't be there in the fall.
Or whatever you do, dig a big hole and take as much dirt as you can with you. Now, Phil, you're the expert.
Well, we moved, I was trying to think when we moved that. I think it was in January, though, so that would have been a pretty good time. We moved, and I apologize. I was reading your email. What tree is this?
Camellias.
Camellias. Okay. All right. We moved that maple, that little red maple, Japanese maple, that's next to our pool, fish pool. We moved that, and it was huge. Not tall, huge, but the root ball. If you can get a pretty good size root ball, you'll probably be okay. And again, when you put it in, put water in the hole, fill the hole up with water so you can make sure that you've got plenty of moisture, and then sit the root ball down in that hole. And as you put the soil back into the hole, just keep putting water in there so you can make sure you don't have any air pockets and that sort of thing. Or any, clotted up dirt. You want to break everything up and make sure the roots are covered. And just don't plant it too deeply. Plant it exactly how it is now. And you will have to water, but don't overwater. It's got to start growing into the ground. And probably won't, well, it'll probably still do that some this summer.
Got it. So when I go probing for the root ball, I mean, when I got these things, they were bag and burlap, when we got them and planted them originally, and they've got, a year and a half worth of growth since then. How far out of a root ball should I go when I start digging? How far away from the base of the trunk of the thing?
So they've only been in a year and a half?
Yeah, roughly two falls ago.
Okay. Okay, well, they should not have any, they shouldn't have much, a much bigger root ball than they had when you put them in. Maybe go out a half a foot or a half a foot to a foot at the most.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine with that. And when I say that, some of the smaller roots may be, they've probably grown out, I'm sure, but I'm talking the larger main routes probably have not gotten any further out than that.
Got it. And how long can they be out during the construction process, or do I have to do anything while they're out to keep them going? I mean, do you water root balls on their, when they're out, or how does that work?
Oh, absolutely. I've had some dug out for almost 4 or 5 days and just keep watering them.
Yeah, or either take, if you could, just take some burlap or something like that to, not any plastic or anything like that, but maybe some burlap just to wrap over the top of the root ball and around the edge, and that'll help it keep some of the moisture in.
Got it. So it's like a manufactured mulch almost.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Over the next couple of weeks. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See you guys.
Bye. Mm-hmm. The best son in the world, Reeves Raley, is listening. He just told me he's in the car listening. He and one of my grandsons, the tallest of the two and the older of the two, Wells, they're both listening. So hi, boys.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
I was about to ask you a few minutes ago how the family was doing.
Best in the world. They are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. He's a great teacher.
Smart and sweet. Yeah, great teacher, too.
Yes. Right.
And it's amazing that Reeves has stood with it so long.
Yeah.
Because teaching is a difficult job. I taught one time, and it was the third grade way back there, and I said, I've taught twice, my first and my last. By the way, speaking of somebody listening, I had a call yesterday from an old friend, Cindy Allison.
Oh.
I think Phil remembers.
I remember Cindy.
Cindy is a landscaper and did a good job at my place one time. Got a daughter named Tori, and her father-in-law was Mr. Barker, Andy Barker, the founder of Love Valley in Iredell County, the cowboy
city. I remember that, especially in the 70s. They used to have those big concerts.
Oh, absolutely. And it's still going. And
how about that?
She's an avid listener, and her daughter Tori was the mayor there for a while, and they still live there, and it's still very active.
Now, and place that for us. Is it near North Wilkesboro?
It is north of Statesville.
North of Statesville.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not.
And they had a very, when I talked to her yesterday, they had a visitor a couple weeks ago. Our state treasurer, Dale Falwell, rode up on his motorcycle.
Well, all right.
And was visiting.
So that's a smart man there.
Yeah.
He is.
And was visiting Love Valley. And she called me to tell me about Dale Falwell and said they had a delightful conversation with him. And I said, well, he's a fine treasurer.
He is.
And I feel very, very confident.
He's a good lawmaker, too.
Yes.
Likes motorcycles. I remember that.
He was a representative from Forsyth County and has done well by the folks like me that get a government pension. So hello to Cindy and her daughter Tori and all the folks in Love Valley.
And let's say hello to the Virginia Mountains and Major Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
Good morning, my friend.
How are you today, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. I wanted to share with you first, I need to say thank you to Phil. When I was down there a couple of weeks ago and I came home with some of her tomato plants, they're probably, 3 inches tall when I got them, and they're probably 12 to 14 inches tall now, so they all seem to be doing well.
That's great.
But I learned something, and I don't remember if I got this from you or from Gerald, but I was used to a typical tomato leaf size and shape, and lo and behold, I've got some tomato plants that have leaves on them that look more like a gardenia leaf. They're very teardrop shaped and smooth on the edges. And I'd never encountered that before. And had I not known it was a tomato, I would have probably plucked it as a weed.
Hmm.
I think it's called a Cherokee chocolate.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know, with all the different varieties, because I came away with San Marzano and Early Girl and so many other varieties I'd never been exposed to before.
Okay.
So it's been quite the education, and I didn't know if you could comment on the plant recognition in tomatoes going by the leaf shape, and maybe you can comment on how much variety there really is.
Right. The Brandywine leaf is pretty big and different looking to me too. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They are. It's kind of like, oh, is this one of those garden weeds or is it a real tomato? I understand right. that.
Interesting.
And most of them have small tomatoes on them now already.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Major Dave, there's one. Gerald's Lightning has the biggest leaf of any tomato plant I've ever seen. It's almost like a palm tree.
Wow.
And I've got to announce, now, this is no fooling. I harvested yesterday the first tomato. You know, you'll get one or two like figs, first off. The yellow Rufus tomato. Hmm. And it was delicious.
Well, good.
So I'm sure other people have done that. But
was it baseball size? Or
About baseball size.
Not bad.
It was good on a BLT. With
even though it was yellow.
With Duke's mayo.
Well, you know, I certainly appreciate the varieties that I got because I was exposed. There's a variety called Mortgage Lifter.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of before. So next time I'm in Raleigh, Phil, I'll definitely make a return visit because I'll learn something new every time I do.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. All right, but looking forward to seeing you.
Dave, you asked about the I still don't understand what kind of weed that was. I gave you information from Johnny Coley that you had out there, and you were trying to figure out the weed. But
yes, it's called mullium.
Mullium, yeah. Are you familiar with that?
6 foot tall, mm-hmm. and in the last since I sent that to you, that yellow flower on the top has appeared.
Oh wow.
To me, it looks kind of like, not exactly, but to me, it almost looks like an artichoke when it's growing up tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but you're not going to cook it.
No. No. I saw some.
Well, I mean, at first I thought maybe it was a banana tree. I mean, this thing is huge. These leaves are 24 inches long and probably 12 inches.
Wow.
Right.
Have you seen that, Rufus?
Well, I'm just saying, are you sure it's a weed? It sounds to me like it's something that might be very interesting.
Well,
one man's beauty might be another man's weed.
Well, that's right.
That's true.
And I don't.
Well, it's a gorgeous plant, but I had a pile of stone that we've been digging up out of the garden area because we found out it used to be a driveway, and all that topsoil was all of this gravel, and this pile is probably 20 feet long and I'd say about 6 feet high at the top and 8 feet wide.
Good
and
Lord.
Plants just popped up out of nowhere.
Oh, gracious.
They're all over the North Carolina mountains, too.
Yeah.
So you can see them when you're riding down the parkway.
Uh-huh.
Well, in reading about it, it even says it has some medicinal properties, so I'm going to have to do some more research on that before I dig it up. It's awesome.
Yeah, you've seen it before, Rufus. It's the bottom part of it, when it first comes out, almost looks like a, not a Dusty Miller, what am I trying to say? A lamb's ear.
Well, that might be what we call dock.
No.
What I'm calling dock has a velvety.
Yeah, yeah.
Velvety.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, that's what we call dock. It has a yellow bloom on the top of it.
Yes.
And the pastures are full of them.
Yes.
We used to hate them.
Did you pull them up or what'd
you
do to them?
You had to mow them.
Oh, okay.
Just in the pasture.
It'd be tough to mow this one, it sounds like.
But it's a pretty thing if taken by itself. But
yeah,
it's what we locally call DOC, D-O-C, don't know why. And the way you described it, I knew exactly what you were talking of. And it will grow. If you had it as a specimen plant, it could be pretty.
Well, that's the thing about riding down the parkway. I mean, it's just, at that point, it's another wildflower.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. The foliage is pretty. The flower is pretty. I mean, it's great, but not in your garden.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I would imagine that name, Doc, originated from just medicinal properties.
Probably.
Very well. That's probably true,
well,
Major.
I never knew what it meant.
How about that?
Major.
Well, I'll do some research and let you know what I find.
Do that.
We learn something every day.
Well, while we got you, Major Dave,
got about a minute.
There's another common name for a weed up home called bull nettle. Does anybody know what that is?
No.
Oh, well, there are all kinds of nettles.
So you try to fight it, and it grows a little bitty, about 2 feet tall, with a little yellow thing on it, and pull it out, it'll stick you to pieces.
Hmm.
Bull nettle.
Hmm.
So you stay away from that.
Well, let's see if anybody else out there in Radio Land knows what a bull nettle is.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the taste of home, folks. I love hearing you every week.
Well, right. We love having you call, Major, and thanks for listening.
Take care.
You too.
Yep.
All right. Got mullein or dockweed and bull nettle. And that's all I got to say. Bull nettle. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.
Okay.